personally. Amen. I'm not talking about knowing everything about God, but I'm talking how many other people can you say were like Moses? Not many. Amen. So if you look at this and see what Moses was fearing and trembling and quaking, what do you think the people were doing? I mean, how scary would do you think that would have looked, being just a nobody down there looking up and seeing all this going? Moses has got to be dying. I mean, that's what you're thinking, right? I mean, the things that happened in the Old Testament were incredible. And they really were not just stories. They really happened. And sometimes we have a hard time grabbing a hold of the gravity of what was going on. In the midst of this, you see this verse 24 come. Jesus is so good to us, by the way. If you look in this verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, what did Abel say? As I started to look at this and started to think about this blood, now let me tell you something. It makes me nervous when churches and preachers and religions start to take or minimize the effect that Christ shedding his blood had. When they try to minimize what he did when he shed his blood for us. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Now, he set all this up, and I come back to the simple fact. Who wrote this? Jesus did. Amen? God wrote this book. We didn't write this book. That staggers me that Jesus would make that a rule. Can you think with me? The rule is, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Jesus knew he was the one that was going to have to shed it. And he wrote it. He made the rule that he would have to die for you. That's his rule. He could have said, if you can catch a football pass at 65 yards, you go to heaven. Did he not? He could have said that. Amen. I know it's foolish, but he could have said that. He could have said, if you just go to church the rest of your life, you'll go to heaven. Amen. 1 out of 800 people would get that. You could have said that you sing in the choir or do good works, but no, he said, I'm going to have to go. He made the rules. And when we talk about how good Christ is, he had to go to the cross for you. He had to shed his blood for you. He had to pour it all out for you. He had to fill every single thing that he set up back in the Old Testament. He had to fill it in the new. And he did, by the way. And we're so excited about that. But what did Abel have to say? Think about that for a minute. What did Abel have to say? Look at this verse again. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. What's the new covenant? That you're going to believe in Christ and go to heaven because of his shed blood, because of what he's done on the cross. The gospel. That's the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Obviously, it's Christ's blood. Obviously. It's Christ's blood that they're speaking of here that spoke better things than that of Abel. Now I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 4. It didn't take man long to get stupid. It really didn't. I mean, it started out in the Garden of Eden. It must have been pretty great there, wouldn't you think? I mean, God made this place. He gave Adam one job. Tend the garden. And I'm not going to go into the yea hath God said devil moment. I'm going to let you think this way. Adam's only job was to tend the garden and not eat of that tree. Tend the whole garden, and God in the middle of the garden set this one tree and said, man, don't do that. Now, aren't we dumb? I want you to think with me. How many times have your mother said, do not eat that cookie? You could have anything else in the whole, but don't eat that cookie. How many of you ate the cookie? I mean, I had to eat the cookie. It was, don't dip your finger in the frosting of this cake. How many of you dipped the finger in the frosting? I mean, you have to do it. It's one of those things. Don't do this. And it's almost one of those, it plagues you until you do it. I'll just suffer the consequences. That frosting looks way too good. But in this garden that was perfect, all the fruit trees, and do you think God didn't take care of them? Do you think God didn't give them everything they needed? Do you think that God didn't make the temperature perfect, make everything wonderful? Yet, there was one thing they couldn't do, and they had to do it. And if you think, well, Adam and Eve, then they got kicked out of the garden, and then they've got this cherubim that has this sword that turns every direction to keep them out. And you're looking at verse 24 of Genesis chapter 3. But we get in Genesis chapter 4 in verse 1, and the Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain." We know about Cain. We know a little bit about him. And as you study Cain, you look at him. We're going to look at him a little bit. I'm more interested in Abel right now. But if you look at Cain, it's amazing to me how God has already set up in the very first birth. He's already set up what it's going to take for them to have their way to heaven. He's already set it up because you've got animal skins back in chapter 3 where God showed them. He had to show them. Adam and Eve wouldn't have known what to do. He showed them, this is what you must do. Shedding of blood must happen, or you're not going to get a chance to get back in here. You're not back in the Garden of Eden, but back to where I am. It's got to be reconciliation. And this reconciliation, something innocent is going to have to die. If you look at these verses with me, let's go to verse 15. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Speaking of the devil, speaking of Satan, also the first mention of Jesus Christ's birth that is coming here in the Old Testament. "Unto the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Man, ladies, you're worried about that now, aren't you? "And unto Adam," he said, "because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." Now we have to plow the ground. Before, the Lord was just bringing it. Now we've got to do all the work. "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. "And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Now, where do you think those skins came from? The Bible doesn't tell you, but I personally believe that those were lambs that were slain right there. I believe that those were lambs that were slain because it doesn't make any sense to have anything else slain there. I believe God institutes right here what it takes, the shedding of blood for the remission of that sin. Now understand, and you can argue this point all you want to, till this point there's only one sin. The one sin was not doing what he was told to do. One sin. He did this one sin because he loved his wife. And it's a beautiful picture, and preachers taught us to us several times that he partook of that sin because he loved her so very much. Just like Jesus Christ partook of our sin because he loves us so very much. Now, if you look at this, "And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Unless you do it, Jesus and God is setting this up. Unless you do it the way I say, you cannot enter into my rest. You're not going to get to paradise, Abraham's bosom, wherever you talk about. You're not going to get there until you do what I say. Amen? It's never been any different, by the way. God has always made all the rules. So these two boys come. Now, Adam and Eve have been given the rules. They've been told the rules. Whether they wrote them down or not, I'm not sure, but they have been given the rules. Would you not say amen to that? They were taught. Mom and daddy were taught. Many times, that's how we learned. We learned from mom and daddy. Not personally happening in my life, but down through the ages has been passed from generation to generation what we ought to do. Aren't you glad you've got the King James Bible that can tell you the truth of what God wants you to know? Do you see why it's so very important to have the truth? Every word. It is amazing to me how people can say, well, I don't need every word, as long as I got the idea. Man, I don't want the idea. God is very, very, very distinct in what he wants. He's very, very sure. He gives us every word, black and white, where we can see it. This is what I need you to do. Amen? Then Cain and Abel are born. I personally believe they're twins. Okay? If you look at this, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, and she again bare. I just believe that there was no more conceiving between that time. I just believe she again bore and it ended up being a twin, and that twin was Abel. Amen? I'm not going to argue with you about that. It really is irrelevant. But as you understand this, she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, I want to draw your attention first to the simple fact that they are offering. I want you to understand something. I don't know their age here, but Cain is offering. He's offering something wrong, but he's offering. So they have been taught to offer. I don't know if this is their first ever offering. I don't know. I have no clue, but I know what the Bible says is that Abel brought what God told him to bring. And Cain brought something that was really good. See, now you can look at this. You say, well, man, that's horrible. Well, I got to believe he was pretty good at it. I got to believe he was a good farmer. I got to believe the crops back in those times were nice. And I got to believe he brought the best crops that he had for that offering. I believe he brought the greatest of the apples, the most wonderful of the wheat, the most tremendous of the corn. I believe the sweet corn he put on that altar was so good, it just you ate it and went down your... Man, it's about time to pray. I believe he brought the best that he had for his God. And you look at Cain and you get aggravated, but I got to be honest with you, there's times that we don't even bring our best. And here's Cain being taught by mom and dad, this is what you should do. And Cain says, wait a minute, Abel is a shepherd. Abel being a shepherd, certainly he ought to bring of his flock. I am a farmer. Why shouldn't I bring what I have done? But that wasn't the rules. That wasn't what God has said. That's why I get a little bit irritated when preachers start to get outside of themselves and say, well, this is what we ought to do, when God never said it. I get a little nervous when we start making our own ideas and our own conceptions about, well, we can do whatever we want to do on, and take your pick, soul winning, whatever you want to do. Men get so smart and so full of themselves, and they end up doing what they think is right. And in Cain's mind, I guarantee he didn't think it was wrong. If he thought it was wrong, he wouldn't have done it. Here we are, the man getting stupid in the very first birth, deciding that they're not going to follow what God wants them to do. And God made the rules. And God told them what to do and passed it down. I'm certain, word to Adam, Adam to children. God to Adam. Adam to children. And they messed up right off the bat. You saw it in Adam. God to Adam. Adam messed up. Amen? So don't be surprised when men mess up. God knew that. God knew that. That's why he made the rules. You trust in me. You give your life to me. You give your heart to me. You let me come into your life. I've shed the blood for you. We'll get to that in a minute. And here we have Abel and Cain offering something. They're there. They showed up to the altar. They made it. In our life, in our America, we would say, oh, Cain, how wonderful. In our life, in our America, where you get a trophy for everything. Oh, Cain, good job. I'll bend the rules a little bit and accept your offering. But that's not God. God has one way, and that's the way you got to do it. Amen? If you look at this verse, he had no respect unto Cain's offering, but then also he did have respect unto Abel and his offering. Verse 5, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He got mad at God. So do you. So do you. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? I don't believe God was mad here. I believe God was saying, hey, wait a minute, Cain. Why are you so mad? Look at this. And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? So is up to this point, is Cain doing well? No, he's not doing well. He's offering what he ought not offer. So God's saying, hey, if you do well, you'll be accepted. Just give it another shot. Do what I say. Why? It's amazing to me when preachers get up here and fire and get all red-faced and sweat and pour their heart out and go home exhausted. And we do this because we're begging God to give you another shot. At the end of the day, honest to goodness, at least this is for me. At the end of the day, I just want the people that I'm serving to have a good Christian life. And here's God saying, Cain, if you do well, you're going to be accepted. That's why preachers get up here and shout, don't drink alcohol. Yeah. Not because we don't want you to have a good time and party. We want you to live a good life. And if you live that good life, Christ will bless you. It's so simple. Christ made the rules, not the preachers. We just preach what God tells us to preach, and we preach it along with that book. I'm not going to come to you with some fancy voice that came to me. Oh, David, I'm going to find it in there first. Amen? The Bible's full. It's complete. I can preach the rest of my years on this earth right out of that book. I don't have to find something new to preach out of. That's enough. I don't have to pull up a commentary from some great man. I don't care who it is. I don't have to pull up a commentary. I've got this. It's good enough. And here we have Cain saying, it's not good enough. I'm going to do what I want to do. Yeah, I know he offered you a lamb, but isn't that nasty? God, look at that. There's blood everywhere. Huh? Oh, God, that's gross. It's all over your altar. Look at my offering. Beautiful. Red peppers, green peppers, red apples and green apples and beautiful. Oh, my corn is yellow. Look at all the pretty colors. God, look at all this stuff you gave me. Isn't this beautiful, God? The only color God wanted to see is red. But they both brought offerings. Look at this now. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. If you're not doing well, Christian, it's sin. I'm just reading what the Bible says. It's sin. Sin's waiting there. Sin's waiting behind that door, Cain. If you take that door, sin is there. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. We see this first murder with the only motive being a pleasing of God. Because my offering, what I do, is not good enough. But what you do is good enough. Is that what I'm supposed to believe, Abel? His motive had to be that. It had to be, oh, Abel, you bring of what you have done. But Abel never did it. It was God that did it. It was God that made the rules. It was God that told. All he was doing is what his mom and daddy taught him to do. That God wanted this offering. God wanted the shedding of blood. Cain says, what I have to offer is better. But it's not better. It's just wrong. Now look at this. Cain talked with Abel, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? You might say, why is he asking that? He's God. Shouldn't he know? I've been asked that question, by the way. Why is God asking this question? He's God. Doesn't he know? You ever been asked a question by a teacher? What's 4 plus 4? I invariably have a child that says, you're the teacher, you tell me. And then they get smacked, anyways. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? God knew where Abel was. God knew what Cain had done. And he said, I know not. Am I thy brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? That's pretty sassy talking to God. But I want you to notice something here. As you break this apart, his countenance didn't just fall a little. His countenance continued to fall. Now, this is not something that's new. Man has been doing this forever, where God doesn't give them what they want. Huh? Let's put this where we live now. God doesn't give us what we want, so we stop serving God. Huh? God doesn't give us what we want, so we start back-talking God. You ever back-talk God? You say, you're going to sit here and tell me you didn't, but I have. I've back-talked God. Well, God, if you're not going to give me this, then I'm not going to show up. God laughs and then squashes me in some way. We're so lucky that God just doesn't squash us every time we get ornery. Where's Abel? Cain, where's Abel? How am I supposed to know? I don't keep him. Huh? You're going to say that to God? God's talking to you. How many times has God talked to you? And you have an answer. Or you said the wrong answer. See, we're at a position right here where the first murder has taken place. But to be real honest with you, the murder took place in Cain's heart long before he ever lifted the knife. The murder took place in Cain's heart because he disagreed with God on something that God made the rules for. And it's not surprising to me that we have spiritual death after spiritual death after spiritual death in independent fundamental Baptist churches today because we raise the knife on God's rules and say, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. We've had people walk out of this church because we preach so hard for the King James Bible. Keep walking. I'm not changing the rules. I'm not going to change the rules so you feel more comfortable. Do you think it was comfortable when Cain slew Abel? Do you think Abel was comfortable when he would... What did Abel do? Come on now, you tell me. What did Abel do? Abel did what God asked him to do, and he died. Many people do what God wants them to do, and they suffer for it. God didn't say he'd make everything a rainbow road for you. And here we are looking at this very first murder. And Cain had lifted the knife long before he lifted the knife. Because he wasn't going to do what God wanted him to do. He's going to do what he thought was right. And by the way, he did what was right. But it was right in his eyes, not right in God's eyes. If you look at this, am I my brother's keeper? Verse 10, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. That's a scary thought. That's a scary thought. And I wonder, as we look at this, I want you to remember what we read back in Hebrews, that Christ's blood, the voice of Christ's blood, utters a different and better thing. What did Abel's blood whisper to us? What did Abel's blood cry out from the ground? And I'm going to tell you, I'm not sure, but I'd like to lend a little thought to this. I've been thinking about this for the last few days. And as I looked at these verses, I thought about this. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 23. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 23. I hope you're not in a hurry. Can we learn something together? Matthew chapter 23, and we're going to read verse 35. Let's read 34. Matthew chapter 23, verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Now understand this. As I read these verses, and by the way, Much of this has already happened. Some of this could be coming again. I'm not sure. I don't want to get into that kind of mess. But understand this. As you look at this, there's one thing I notice, that the righteous blood shed upon the earth from the blood of righteous Abel. I believe that the blood of Abel was crying out, this man was the righteous one. This man was the righteous one. Why isn't Cain's blood slain? Why isn't that his blood laying here? Why isn't it Cain's blood? Why? Why in the world did the righteous die? Why did the righteous die? As Abel only did what he's supposed to do. Abel only did that which he was supposed to do. And his blood cries out to Jesus Christ. Hey, he was the righteous one. Why is his blood here? Why isn't his blood being spilled? Why not Cain? You know, as I read that verse, I thought to myself, man, that just is not fair. That's not fair that Abel did what his daddy and mommy taught him. It's not fair that Abel did that which was accepted by God. Amen? It was accepted. Christ said he's accepted his offering. He did that what was accepted. Christian, we're not guaranteed that we won't suffer because of doing that which is right. We're not guaranteed that we are going to make it through this life always feeling good and doing right. Do you think Abel enjoyed the argument that he had with Cain? Come on, before he was slain, do you think it was not an argument? You think he went up and talked to him sweetly? Hey, Abel, you having a good day? I don't think that's how it went. I think they argued. I think Cain said, why did not my offering get accepted? And Abel said, oh, Cain, come on. You know that these are the rules. Cain, this is what mom and dad taught us. Cain, we've got to, I'll give you one. Do you think Abel wouldn't give his twin brother a lamb? I'll give you one, Cain. I don't need your stinking lamb. Can you hear the argument? You think Abel enjoyed the hearing? Those were the last words he heard? Hey, listen, I know I'm putting a little liberality on this, but I just have to believe that's about how it went. And his blood cries out. Why is it his? Why is it his blood? I also believe it cries out for the generations that Abel that were snuffed on that day. Because you know that I know that our blood, the man's blood, is what passes on to generation to generation to generation to generation. I know that my blood resides in my children. I know that my blood flows through Natalie and Tiffany and Luke to this day. I know it. How many lives were snuffed out when Abel's blood was spilled that day? How many lives were snuffed out because, and lives that may or may not have been righteous, by the way, don't think that every life that would have came out of Abel would have been righteous. We already have proof it's 50-50 with Adam and Eve. We already have proof all throughout the years. There's good sons, good dads, bad dads. That it happens all throughout the centuries. But understand this, there may have been some crying out from generation to generation, this blood was stopped today. My blood stopped today. See, my blood lives on. When Luke has children, my blood will live on. My daddy's blood will live on through my son's blood. How many generations were snuffed out that day? How many generations were stopped from having more and more children that may or may not have been righteous, but they would have been able to walk the earth that were snuffed out that day because of the anger over God's rules and his objection to the same? See, what's amazing to me, and I want to get you to think about this, when you break God's rules, you are not the only one that suffers. I promise you, if the preachers of this church started getting up here and trying to persuade you to believe a different book, the preachers would not be the only ones to suffer. You would suffer. Your families would suffer. We've got to bring you God's rules. What you do with them now is up to you. I believe Abel's blood, even to this day, calls out, follow the rules. I believe it does. I believe Abel's blood says, hey, I know that my generations were cut short, but you know what's great about God? He kept Abel alive. You have verses about him today. Abel's still being talked about because God has kept that righteous man's testimony alive. Amen? Maybe, just maybe, Abel's blood calls out for revenge. Because it was, in fact, human blood, amen? The Bible doesn't say this. I'm just thinking. You can take this for us. I'm not going to argue with you about it. But how many times has the seed of vengeance come up in me when somebody broke the rules? How many times has vengeance come up in you when somebody treated you badly? How many times has vengeance come up in your heart when somebody has put you in a position you didn't want to be in? How many times has revenge come up into you? How many times have you felt when somebody has left God's word or left the calling of God or left what God wanted them to do, and they leave that, and you're set there holding the bag, talked about, cursed about, said, well, Preacher Skiver, he's just an old man that he doesn't know any better anymore. I'm going to tell you right now. This man has more knowledge in his little pinky than the vast majority of the preachers in our surrounding area. And what's amazing to me is that these young whippersnapper preachers get up here and say, well, we know a better way. We know a more wonderful way. And what happens? Their churches go forward in our eyes. Their churches go forward. They start doing great things. You know, oh, man, maybe we are messed up. Look at my Sunday school class today. How many seats are available? Have I started preaching anything this new age? It's easy to say, well, we'll just start giving them stuff and maybe they'll come in. And that may be true. But at the end of the day, I want you to know what the rules are. Whether you deem them right or wrong, that's the rules. And I believe some ways Abel's blood is crying out, hey, why don't you stop Cain? Have you ever thought that way? Hey, why don't you stop Joel Osteen? Huh? Oh, you think he's doing right for the world? You got a real problem on your hands. How in the world can Benny Hinn succeed? He's nothing to do with God. We cry out for vengeance. God, do something. You ever said that? I wonder if Abel's blood is crying out, God, do something. God did do something. In verse 4, Abel being dead yet speaketh. Even to this day, Abel being dead yet speaketh. Even to this day, what Abel did, the things that he did for God still are alive today. What he did, doing what God asked him to do, doing what the Lord set up, doing what God has asked him to do. Turn back to Genesis. What hast thou done? Verse 10. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Cain, all you had to do is follow the rules. Cain, all you had to do is do what I said. Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Let me tell you something. The wages of sin is death. That punishment is far greater than any of us can bear. We'll get to the other in a minute. Don't leave me. Well, probably next week now. Look at this. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. What is God doing here? He's issuing punishment and protection. You know, it's amazing that God protects even the most wicked. Tell me I'm wrong. It's amazing how many chances God gives those that mess up. Look at this. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Here's the saddest statement out of all this. This is a real tearjerker for me. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. You know what? He didn't have. I'm going to end with this. We're going to be done with Cain, and we're going to continue with Abel later, tomorrow or next week. Christian, in our lives, there are times when we get so far into sin, or and I'm talking to Christians, not me. Wow, it's frightening the way some Christians get. They get so wrapped up in the world. We're supposed to come out from the world. We really are. We're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be like the world is. Well, the world is looking at me funny. Well, they ought to. I mean, they really do. They ought to look at you funny because you won't do the things that the world is doing. The world should lose its luster as you become more Christian. Amen. And as you look at Cain here, Cain talking to God. The punishment is more than I can bear. Then your next thing, Cain, is to say, God, please forgive me. That's the next statement, Cain. That's what you say. God, please forgive me. But he continues to make excuses for that, which he did. And then he leaves. The presence of God. I believe with all my heart Cain went to hell. I don't believe Cain ever got saved. But there was never a time that he couldn't. Oh, we don't like to preach that. Oh, we don't. Well, this man's so far gone. No man is ever far gone in sin that he cannot be saved. No man. Cain right there, when he left the presence of the Lord, what is Abel's blood saying? I believe Abel's blood is crying out, Cain, ask him to forgive you. Cain, accept his forgiveness and pardon. Cain, do right. Please, I believe his blood's crying out for Cain to do that what God asked him to do. And Christian, I'm imploring you today, start doing what God has asked you to do. Don't go outside of the boundary. Don't go outside, because I'm going to tell you, you're not going to find anything but suffering there. Your heart will become hardened. You'll become so mad that you start doing things that you never thought you'd do. I had this conversation with Billy Turner, Pastor Billy Turner. I sat in these chairs right here. We looked at each other one day, and I told him, I said, you know, Brother Bill, I believe in 10 years you're going to be very saddened and surprised to see who is and who is not still at Bethel. We've not changed a thing here. Say what you want to say. You get mad all you want to. We've not changed a thing here. We still preach the gospel. We still preach the King James Bible. We still do what we're supposed to do in God's eyes. Let me explain something to you. We have not moved. Where have they gone? They left the presence of God. Oh, you said, well, you're just saying that because this church. No, I believe God resides here. And I believe that they left the presence of God when God, all he wanted them to do was say, God, I'm sorry. If Cain repents right there, he doesn't leave the presence of God. I believe that. You say he committed a murder. So did David. He committed a murder. Paul held the coats for a stoning of a Christian. I believe Abel's blood, if it cries anything, it cried out to Cain, oh, please, please do that which is right. Accept God's sacrifice, not yours. I believe he's still crying that out today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, this is interesting to me how this all came to place, how this all came to be, these two twin brothers. One would be righteous. Not that he was righteous in and of himself, Lord, but because of this belief in you, he was righteous. And then one that was so very not righteous. But they were still offering. They both were there. They both were at the altar that day. It's amazing how one's attitude could be so far different from the other when they were both trying to accomplish the same thing. It's amazing to me how, God, you have set a plan. You have set rules, and you are accepting of those rules. And you are accepting of no other rules. Yet even to this day, many preachers across America are trying to make their own rules. Oh God, please, let them hear the crying of Abel's blood that says, please don't break the rules. Lord, help us today. Help us today to want to do what you want us to do. Not what we think we ought to do, but what you want us to do. Oh God, please, as we study about this precious, precious commodity called the blood, Lord, help me to teach it in a way that we understand the gravity of the blood, the gravity of the shedding of it, the gravity of why you made the rules, and the gravity of what you're doing with it. Oh God, please, help us to study and learn from you well. Help this Sunday school campaign to go well. Help people to invite people to come. We should have visitors. Lord, please help us. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.